While you're getting ready for the message and finding your sermon notes, I want to tell you a little story. There was a man, a very wealthy man. We know he was wealthy because he had a huge yacht. It was a couple hundred yards long, and it was parked there in the harbor, and the man was standing out on the deck, and he was surveying all that he owned as well as the ocean in front of him, and he noticed that down there next to his boat was the fisherman. He was just sitting there on the dock, and so he yells down at him, and he says, "Why aren't you fishing?" The man looks up, and he says, "Well, I've caught all the fish that I need for today." And so the wealthy man on the yacht, he yells back down to him, "Why don't you go out and catch some more fish?" "Well, why would I do that?" "Well, if you caught more fish, you could have more nets, and you could catch more fish." "Why would I want to do that?" "Well, you could sell the fish. Then you could buy more boats. In fact, you could have a whole fleet of boats, and you could have a yacht like me. Why would I want to do that?" "Well, then you could be so rich, you could retire, and you can enjoy life and just sit on the dock." "What do you think I'm doing?" Great story. I like it. Reminds us. The story that we have in the Old Testament, God is saying to the Israelites, "You're way too much like the guy on the yacht. You're impatient. You always want more. I want you to be more like the fishermen and enjoy what you have." Now, as we take a look at this story, there's a three-part lesson here. Number one, we're all impatient at times. Number two, we need people to stand in the gap. We need someone to pray like Moses did for the people of Israel. And number three, God always has an answer. He has a prescription for our sin. Now, in order to understand all of this, we need to go back just a little bit. So if you were reading the book of Numbers, you would see that before this, as God brought his people out of Egypt, that there was a whole series of miracles. Now, I'm not going to list them all this morning, but put up there on the screen at least the ones that are in your notes. A list of miracles that God had performed for his people. Number one, enemies were routed by spectacular means. We sometimes forget that it wasn't a straight path from Egypt to the promised land. It wasn't a straight path because there were enemies along the way. And they needed to be fought, they needed to be conquered, so that God's people could make their journey. And God always went ahead of them, and he always protected them, and he made sure that they won the victory. Number two, there was an invisible tour leader of fire and cloud. You know, I sometimes marvel that it took the Israelites 40 years to make the journey because they had a divine GPS system. They should never have gotten lost. They shouldn't have been wandering. During the daytime, God went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud. At night, it was a pillar of fire. Now, this one isn't in your notes, but think about the 10 plagues for just a moment. 10 plagues when the people were in Egypt, they were needed to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. And so, you know, the river turns to blood. There's frogs and flies and gnats and lice and hail and fire and death, but only to the Egyptians. Never to the Israelites, even though they were living right next to them. All this time, these miracles, not only did they cause Pharaoh to let God's people go, but when they left, he was so grateful that they were leaving, he said, "We'll even give you our gold if you just get the heck out of Dodge. Go ahead, take our gold, take our cattle too. Just get out of here." And then there was the parting of the Red Sea, you remember that? Egyptian army, because Pharaoh couldn't bear to part with his slave labor after he thought it over. Plus, they took all of his gold. He wanted it back. So he follows them, Red Sea on this side, Egyptian army on this side. God just parts the waters, and the people pass through. So we have that parting of the Red Sea, that impossible parting, and then we have a rock which becomes a faucet. The people were thirsty. God tells Moses, "Just tell the rock, give him some water, turn on the spigot, there you go. And so in spite of all of this, God's people are still complaining. Letter B, God had given them protection from their enemies. He'd given them provision. Let me ask you, in the beginning of the text, do you remember? They're complaining. They say, Moses, it'd be better if we were to go back to Egypt rather than dying here in the wilderness. There's no food. What kind of food do the people have? They had manna every single day. All they had to do was go pick it up. Enough for the day. And then, before the Sabbath, there was 2 days' worth of manna. They said, God, bread isn't enough. We want a sandwich. Give us a little meat. And so, he gave them quail. Bread, quail, every single day. And they said, we hate this worthless food. We wanted pepperoni pizza. Come on. They had all these blessings. They could only see the hard side of life. Now, some of you know that I was just on vacation. We were, and our family were out in Los Angeles and Phoenix. We got to go to the beach. And while we were at the beach, I was reminded of an old story. I think I told this 20 years or 30 years ago. I don't think you've heard this one. An old grandma. Sorry, grandma's got to pick on somebody here. There's a grandma. She takes her grandson to the beach. And grandma wants to get a tan because she wants to look good, right? So grandma, she's out sunning herself, and she's forgetting all about her grandson. He wanders away. Little boy wanders away. They do that kind of thing. And he got out into the surf. And the surf, you know, it has that pull, the riptide. It goes back out. He gets in trouble. So he cries out, Grandma, help me. Well, grandma can't swim. And nobody can hear her over the waves, so she cries out, God, help me. And all of a sudden, this huge wave crests, and it deposits her grandson right there at her feet. Ought to be grateful, right? No, she yells up, hey, God, he had a hat on before. Right? Isn't that us so often? Let me tell you about my trip to L.A., I had a cold when I left. Now, how lousy is that? You're going on vacation, you have a cold, and I think, okay, according to Wikipedia, a cold should last 5 or 6 days. Doesn't matter if you go to the doctor, doesn't matter if you take antibiotics, doesn't matter what kind of medicine you take, 5 or 6 days. We're going to be gone 8. I should surely be better by the time we get back. I want to enjoy the sun in Phoenix, for Pete's sake. I am honking the whole way. I am snoring at night. I get a sore throat. And then, to top it all off, my son, the baseball player, he gets to stay in the Westin Hotel. I got to stay in the Travelodge and eat at Denny's. He gets buffet meals. They get steak and all this good stuff. Denny's. And then the ride back. The pressure in that airplane is so bad, I thought my head was going to explode. Kind of sounds like it did, doesn't it? I can complain with the best of them. What about you? You know, discontentment is an offense before God. It may not be as visible as some other sins, but it's an offense before God. How often do you get that same kind of attitude that the Israelites had? They had manna every day. They had quail every day. God protected them from their enemies. He brought them out of slavery. They'd been in slavery for 400 years. They had nothing, and God gave them gold from the Egyptians. He gave them cattle. He gave them food to eat, water to drink. And all they can do is complain. How often do we get the same attitude? Oh, yeah, God, I got food, but it's not enough. Oh, yeah, God, I got a job, but I'd like a better one. Sure, God, I have a house and a home, but I like my neighbors better. And could you do something about my brother or sister or wife or husband or boss? You see, we forget all the good gifts, of which there are plenty, because we want more. So I'm here today to urge you, to encourage you, to learn the secret of contentment in the moment. And this is that secret. Enjoy what you are blessed with now. Did you hear that? Enjoy what you are blessed with now. Today. And every day. Instead of always looking, as is our nature, always looking for something better in the future. You know, when you complain, who is it that you're really complaining about? You see, our text says the people grumbled against Moses and God. So when you complain about your spouse, you're really complaining about the one who gave her or him to you. When you complain about the government, you're really complaining about the one who has enthroned all leaders in their place. When you complain about your house, it's not big enough, not good enough, not enough in anything, you're complaining about the one who's given you a home to live in. And so let's adopt instead the attitude of St. Paul. He says, I know what it is to be in need. Raise your hand if you know what it is to be in need. Anybody? I think all of us, right? We know what it is to be in need. But Paul also says, and I know what it is to have plenty. We live in the most prosperous country in the world. Compared to 98% of the population of the world, we have plenty. And he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any, circle that, in any and every situation. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, we're all impatient. We all want more. We're all discontented from time to time. So, it is good to know that there is someone who is in the gap praying for us. Now, we need to know that the Lord did not take kindly to the people's complaining. Did you hear that? The Lord did not take kindly. How do you know? Because he sent the serpents to punish them. And so all these snakes are among the people, and they're biting them, and they are dying. And so Moses begins to pray. And thank God for that, and literally thank God for that, because if Moses hadn't prayed for them, they all would have died. And not just now, but many times. Moses was always praying for them. He prayed for them when they were in Egypt. God, please do something. And God had compassion on his people. Remember, they'd been in slavery for 400 years. Moses said, you know, these people need some guidance. So God provided the fire and the cloud. And now Moses prays for them because God is angry. He's going to kill the whole lot. Just like he had with the golden calf. Moses had gone up to the mountain there to get the Ten Commandments. And people said, well, hey, where'd Moses go? Where's that guy that was supposed to lead us to the promised land? He must disappeared or something. And where's his God? We haven't seen him around. Hey, let's make our own God. You know, all that gold that the Egyptians gave us? That would make a wonderful golden calf. God got so mad when Moses came down from the mountain. God wanted to send fire down on all of them. And Moses said, no. Lord, remember your promise. These are your people. We need people praying for us. The cure for our impatience is in the prayer. It's in the petition. And so Moses prayed for the people, and Job prayed for his friends. If you've been here with us on Wednesday nights, we've been telling the story of Job, righteous man, godly dude. And yet, he has all of these afflictions. He loses his family. He loses all his property. He suffers boils. It's so painful, his friends say, just curse God and die, go out in a cloud of glory. And what does Job do? He prays for his friends. Paul prays for his countrymen. He cared about them so much, they were into all kinds of terrible sins. Paul said, God, I would rather that you separate me from you. I would rather go to hell than for you not to forgive my countrymen. And Jesus, of course, suffered hell in our place. There he is hanging on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, the Romans who are crucifying me. Father, forgive them, the Jews who yelled, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Father, forgive them, me, and you. How many times do you do things? How many times do I do things? I don't know what I'm doing. Father, forgive me. That's the petition. That's the cure. Can you imagine if God still punished sin like he did in the Old Testament? Would any of us be alive? After that little tirade I had before, there'd be snakes crawling up my leg, biting me everywhere, wouldn't it? The reason that God does not punish sin in that way is because there's a substitute. You see, the answer is always the same. It's still the same, and it will be the same tomorrow and forever. From the very beginning, when Eve had the unspoken complaint to the snake. You know what it was? You know, God, I know better than you. God, we've got this entire garden, this paradise, all this food, all this that you have given to us, all this provision. Why can't I eat the apple? And now there are all these snakes, and they're biting the people, and there's a substitute. God says to Moses, make a snake, put him up on a pole, and then have all the people look at the snake and they will live. The answer is still the same. A substitute. A substitute for man, a substitute for the human race. Something is always lifted up. And in the end, the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross. And there he crushes the head of the snake once and for all. A substitute for man, Jesus takes the poison that you and I deserve. Jesus takes the penalty for our grumbling, for our complaining, for our belly aching, for our sin. Once and for all. So, my friends, here is the good news for the morning. God cannot, God will not punish you for your complaining, for your whining. God cannot and God will not punish you for any sin whatsoever, because he's already punished his Son in your place. He took the penalty, he took the poison. You know, there's a remarkable ending to this whole story, which is difficult to catch in the book of Numbers. If you read to the end of the book, you will notice, hopefully, that the people never complained again. I like to think that they learned their lesson. What about us? The next time that you are tempted to complain, when you want more, when you want what someone else has, when you're whining about your circumstances, your boat's not big enough, you didn't catch your limit on the fish, you didn't get to know your grandma like you wanted to, you don't have a hat, life is too boring, look up. Look up and know that there is someone who not only has the ability, but also the desire to give you everything that you need for this life and for the next. Look up and know that there is someone who loves you so much that he would take your penalty in your place. Look up and truly live. Thank you.